All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our special shiur at OU Torah in Citi Field this morning. Is this working? Okay. It's just my in-laws who are joining us this morning. So today we're going to be learning incest, harlotry, and a Moabite princess, dubious lineage or royal ambition, an exploration of the mothers of King David. You can't hear? Okay. Incest, harlotry, and a Moabite princess, dubious lineage or royal ambition, an exploration of the mothers of King David. We are fast approaching, we are in the middle of the count of Sfiras HaOmer, we are fast approaching the Yom Tov of Shavuos, Atzeres, Matan Torah, when we recall and we long for the coming of Mashiach, may it be immediately and in our days, and on the festival of Shavuos itself, we read Megillas Rus. It is the Megillah of the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and it relates to us the dramatic and the surprising story of the lineage of King David, who was born and died 70 years later on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Can you hear? Okay. If you look on your handout, what you have as the first source, they're labeled pages 1 through 4, is the very end of Megillas Rus. And at the very end of Megillas Rus, we are told where David Melech Yisrael came from. The Ela told those Peretz. Peretz was born from the union of Yehuda and Tamar. We will be discussing that later in the shiur. And Toldos, Peretz had Chetzron, Chetzron had Ram, Ram had Aminadav. I'm really on your hand, the top source. Aminadav had Nachshon, the famous Nachshon, who jumped into the sea. Nachshon had Salma, Salma had Boaz. Boaz has Ovid. Boaz is the star of Megillas Rus, the hero, if you will. Ovid had Yishai. Yishai gave birth to David Melech Yisrael. Megillas Rus, which is the Megillah of Shavuos, is a story of bravery, courage, determination, wit, dedication, love, and kindness, chesed. And it is the story of one Moabite princess who with great fortitude left the comforts of her home, left her land, and she chose to journey to a foreign land with a widowed, suffering, impoverished mother-in-law, Naomi. She threw off the yoke of the heathen gods. She chose to cast her lot with a denigrated yet exalted people, Am Yisrael, the nation of Israel. And the pasuk tells us in Megillas Rus, if you look on your handout, Perek Aleph Tes Zion through Yud Zion, the monumental moment when Rus decides that she is going to be a Jewess. Vatomer Rus, Al Tifki Bila Azvech. Rus says to her mother-in-law Naomi, don't pressure me to leave you, to turn away from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you sleep, I will sleep. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. So God will do, and so he should continue. Only death will part between me and you. What does Rashi tell us on these beautiful words? The dedication, if you will, of this young Moabite princess to stick with her mother-in-law. She could have gone home, as did Arpa. What does Rashi tell us? Look on your handout, please. Ki asher talchi eilech. Mikan amru rabbeinu zichronam levracha. From here, the rabbis of blessed memory teach. Ger shabale hitgayer, a convert who comes to convert. Modi'in lo miktzat anashim. You should tell him a little, you know, you should tell the ger who comes to convert. It's not so easy to be a Jew. Are you sure you want to do this? Let me tell you a little bit about the punishments we have. After you tell him it's not so easy to be a Jew, maybe he's going to change his mind and go back to the pagan ways. From the words of Rus, you actually learn what Naomi said to her. You know, we can't walk past a certain distance on Shabbos. Okay. Armala, Basher Telchi Eilich. That's okay. Wherever you walk, I will walk. Asur lanu lihityached, nekeva im zachar sheina isha. You can't have yichud, you can't be alone with a member of the opposite sex who you're not married to. No problem. Basher talini alin, where you sleep, I'll sleep. We are different from all the other nations with Taryag mitzvos. You have 630 mitzvos. Your nation is my nation. I'm on the second to last source on page 1 of your handout. We're not allowed to worship idols. Your God is my God. There are four deaths given over to Basin to punish sinners. That's okay. How you die, I will die. Two different plots of graves were given to Basin to bury those who sin. That's okay. Where you are buried, I will bury. And this girl decides, against all reason, against all logic, from a Moabite castle, a princess who had it all, to journey back to the fields of Beis Lachem, to become a Jewess? Are you sure you want this? To stick with a woman who lost her husband, her two sons, all her flocks, all her wealth? Are you sure you want this? Medrash Rus Rabbah, look at the last source on page one, very beautiful Medrash. Vatomer Rus, al tifki ibi, la'azvech, l'shuv me'achareich. Ruch says, don't pressure me to turn away from you, to go home. Mahu al tifki ibi. So the Medrash says, the sages ask, what does it mean, don't pressure me to turn away from you? Amrallah. What did she say to her mother-in-law? Lo tachta alai. Don't bear a sin because of me. Lo tisivin paga'ayich mini. Do not incur punishment on my account. Rus was saying to Naomi, don't bear a sin because of me. If you do not convert me, it will be on your head. I genuinely want to become Jewish. Don't make me go home. Mikol makom da'ati lehitgayir. You should know, she said to her mother-in-law, whether you convert me or someone else converts me, in any event, I want to become Jewish. Mutav al yadeich v'lo yadei acheres. You may as well be the one to convert me. I have a relationship with you, better you than somebody else. Once Naomi heard that her daughter-in-law is serious and she doesn't want to go back to the fields of Moab, so she starts to tell her what it means to convert. Biti, look at this one, it's funny, considering where we're sitting. I was just upstairs in the speaker's lounge before this and I took a picture of the, it was a great view of the field. I think it must have been a box seat or something. I took a picture of the fields for my kids. Amrallah, the first thing Naomi says to Rus, Biti ein darkan shal b'no Yisrael leilech levate tartaraos ulevate karkasios. You know it's not the ways of the Jewish girls to go to the theaters and the circuses of the guys. So here we are in the stadium. Okay. Amrallah, ala sher talchi eilech. That's okay. I can't go to the theaters. I can't go to the stadium. I can't go to the circus. I'm not going to go. Where you go, I'll go. What does she say next? Biti ein darkan shal Yisrael ladur bevayich ein sham mezuzah. You have to live in a house where there's a mezuzah. No problem. In the house where you sleep, I'll sleep. Your people, my people. There are another punishments and warnings. Your God is my God. This is a woman who is dedicated, who is determined, who is courageous. Rus clings to Naomi, unlike Arpa, the sister-in-law, who goes back to her depraved ways. The Gemara has very not nice things to say about Arpa. Rus marries Boaz, the relative of deceased Elimelech, and their union leads, as we saw in the first handout, to the birth of David Melech Yisrael. It's a nice story. It's very short, four prakim. It's romantic. It's full of drama, pathos, death, poverty, astonishment, shock. In fact, when they come back to the fields of Beis Lachem Yehuda, I'll tell you when you need to go back to your source, not now. It says they go and they walk to Beis Lachem, and when they come to Beis Lachem, what is the reaction of the people of the city? When this family left, they were very wealthy, which is why they left in the first place, so as not to share their wealth. There was a father, a patriarch, there were two sons. Who comes back? Hazot Naomi. This is Naomi, say the townspeople. The one who left with a husband and sons, she comes back with a Moabite daughter-in-law. No wealth, no family. Imagine the scandal, the yichus, the shanda. Is it possible? Hazot Naomi v'taham kol ha'ir aleihem. The city is shocked. Can you imagine the story? We just read in Parshas Kedoshim. The people talking, going from house to house. Did you hear who came back? Not only did she come back, her husband died, her sons died, the flocks all died. She's a pauper. And she has a Moavit daughter-in-law with her. This is the story of Shavuos. This is the story of David Melech Yisrael. This is the story of Mashiach and salvation. What did Rus, a simple Moabite princess, do to merit to become the mother of Melech HaMashiach? What trait did she embody that despite her less than stellar yichus, God chose her as the one to marry Boaz? And what of Tamar, who seduced her own father-in-law, Yehuda, by dressing as a kadesha, the Torah calls her, a prostitute at the crossroads? And what of Bat Lot, Periciotessa, Boratius, who seduced, who gave wine to her own father to lay together with him in a cave, and from him Moab was born. Should the stories of the mothers of King David not have been somewhat more refined, more tsanua, more genteel? Incest, harlotry, and a Moabite princess. Are these stories of dubious lineage, or are they stories of royal ambition? I'm going to quote a piece now by Miriam Peretz. For those who have learned with me, you note that I quote Miriam Peretz very, very often. For those who saw, she just won the Israel Prize on Yom Ha'atzmaut, one of the 16 prize winners. For those who are not familiar with Miriam Peretz, you should familiarize yourself with her. She lost her son Uriel in 1998 to Hezbollah in the north at the age of 22. Her husband Eliezer at the age of 56 died a few years later, she says, quote, of a broken heart. And then in 2010, at the age of 32, her son Eliraz fell in battle in the Gaza Strip. He left behind a widow and four young orphans. In the beginning of their family life, they actually lived in Sharm, in the Sinai. This is a piece from the evacuation of Sinai when it was given back to Israel in the peace treaties. Quote, says Miriam, by then Uriel was almost 6 years old. Why must we leave our home, he asked. Eliraz protested as well. This is our home. Where will we go? Eliezer and I, who were beginning to pack, explained to our children, we didn't want this, but this was the price that we had to pay for peace. No, the children stamped their feet. We don't want to leave. It's not in our hands, Miriam tenderly replied. She says, I was looking down at my two sons, my two flowers, imagining a pink cloud of hope and optimism over their heads. I promised my children, and I said to my boys, if we have peace, my sons, you won't have to go to war. You won't have to go to the army. Most of the residents left before Pesach in 1982. We were among the few who decided to celebrate our last Pesach in Sharm. 10 families participated in the Seder, which we had in the prefab home of the preschool teacher, Edna Kedem. She already left. I was the only one who had kosher for Pesach pots. I cooked for everyone. We sat at a large table, disposable plates, and we recited the Haggadah with tears in our eyes, feeling as if we were literally leaving Egypt. And we sang V'hisha Amda, and B'chol Dar V'dar Amdi Malenu L'chaloteinu, and we collected our children after the Seder, and we walked down the long path between the abandoned prefab houses. 10 families walking with their children, 10 families singing and crying. For several weeks after the Seder, our hearts broke. The Israeli army began to blow up the military installations. They told us, go down to Na'ama Beach. And my children shivered, and they said to me, Ima, why are they blowing up the ocean? Our farewell ceremony was very difficult for the children. Our last day in Sharm was drowned in tears. Uriel and Eliraz could not stop crying. We got into the car, we looked back at the view. We did not know if we would ever see it again. I said to my boys, trying to sound optimistic, children, look in front of you. We're going to a new journey. We will build a new home. Children, look in front, look ahead. A new journey, we will build a new home. Let us move now to the story of incest, Bat Lot, the mother of Moab. If you can please turn to page 2 of your handout. Okay, Periciotessa is a long parak in Boratius. I did not give you the entire Periciotessa for lack of time that they have assigned me. Does everyone have a source packet? Raise your hand if you're missing one. Or missing some in the back. Could you pass those to the back, please? Can you just please pass back? Thank you very much. Periciotessa, Boratius, top of page 2. And the two angels came to Sodom in the evening. They have just come from the home of Avraham Avinu. Lot is sitting in the gates of Sodom, and Lot sees them, and he gets up to meet them, and he bows down to the ground. Of course, then we have the story when the townspeople are banging down the doors. So Tziu Asa Anashim V'Nedo, some, all you have men there, bring them out. We want to have our way with them. Lot corrupt chesed. Please don't harm these men. I have two virgin daughters. You can do with them whatever you want. The irony being that after the destruction of Sodom, the two virgin daughters who he offers to the townspeople, what happens? Become his own in an intimate way. Vayamru anashim elo, pasuk yud beis. Who else is with you here? Your son-in-law, your sons-in-law, your sons, your daughters, everyone in the city. You got to get out. We are destroying this place. The outcry is very great before God. We have been sent from the Almighty to destroy. So Lot goes out and he speaks to his sons-in-laws and he says, we have to leave. God is destroying this place. Ima, why are we leaving? This is our home. Why are they blowing up the city, Ima? He's like a jester in the eyes of his sons-in-law. Nobody believes it will happen. And yet, when the sun comes up, the malachim urge Lo, get up, take your wife, take your daughters. You will be annihilated along with the city. And Lot has a moment of indecision, indicated by the shalshala, which you cannot see, the trap over the word vayit ma'ama. He has a moment of indecision. Should I really leave this place? And they grab his hand and the hand of his wife and the hand of the daughters because God has mercy. And they quickly leave the city. You're fleeing for your life. Don't worry about what you're leaving behind. Yes, the destruction is really coming. And when they leave, they give important instructions. And I bolded this for you. Vayihi ki otziam ota machutza. Vayomer, he malait al nafshacha, al tabit acharecha. Not only do you have to leave the city and the place where you have chosen, vayisalodet eina vayard kol kikar hayard and kikula mashka. Lot chose Sodom. It was beautiful. It was green. It was lush. He wants to live there. It's time to leave. Not only do you have to leave, al tabet acharecha. Don't look back. Don't remain in the plains. You got to run to the mountains. Continuing in the parak pasuk of chaf dalet through lamed chas, and this is where we have the story of Lot and his daughters being intimate together in the cave, and it's raining sulfur on Sodom and Amorah, sulfur and fire from God, from heaven, and everything is overturned. And all the inhabitants of the city and all the greenery, annihilation. I bolded the next pasuk for you. Vatabeit ishto me'acharav. What happens? What were the instructions? Don't look back, my son, said Miriam. Look ahead. We will build a new home. Fatal, momentous, life-changing, death sentence decision. Vatabeit ishto me'acharav. She cannot help herself, this woman. And she looks back and she is turned into salt. You know what I just read on Shabbos? This is just like an aside, even though I don't have time for asides. But did anybody know this? The scientific name for salt is sodium. Okay, I don't remember much from the periodic table of elements, but I remember the NaK pump, the sodium potassium pump. And I saw brought down that sodium, the scientific name for salt, is based on Sodom. Did anyone know that? I was stunned. I said to my daughter-in-law, my mother-in-law, they were with us for Shabbos, they said, why do you think sodium is called sodium based on the Torah? We have no idea. I said, it's in Bereishis. What in Bereishis has to do with salt that might even give it sodium? That's just a little bit of truth. I don't know if it's true or not. I thought it was very, very interesting. It certainly could be true. Abraham wakes up in the morning. That's a whole shiur in of itself. From this pasuk, like Mara says, Mikan, Avram was Mesakin Tefillah Shachris, Avram Davins. And he gazes over the face of Sodom and Amorah, and it's smoking like the smoke of a lime pit, and God destroyed the cities of the plain. He remembered Abraham. He said, lo, from the overturn of the darkness. Okay. He sits in the mountain. His two daughters are with him. They're in a cave. Last line on page 2. Vatomer habechira el hatzeira. You know, they realize we have an idea. There's no Twitter. There's no Facebook. There's no news feed. They don't know that it's only 5 cities that have been destroyed. They think the whole world is destroyed. And there's only them and their father. You know, our father's old. Turn your page over here at the top of page 3 now. And there's no man left. Lecha nashke et avinu yayin. Rashi says, where did they have wine from? This was godly ordained. Rashi says, wine was prepared for them in the cave so they could proceed with the plan of sleeping, excuse me, with their own father. Let's give father wine to drink. We'll lay with him and we'll have from our father progeny. So they give their father wine. The eldest comes and she lays with her father. He doesn't know that he laid and she got up. Rashi says, the maisa, he does know. Okay. And it was the next day. And the Bechira, the eldest says to the younger, the Bechira is the one who takes initiative. You know, last night I lay with father. Let's get him drunk again. Tonight you lay with father. They did the same thing. She lays with her father. They both conceive. The Bechira has a son whose name is Moav, the father of Rus, the heroine of the story of Shavuos. Okay, and the Tzeira also had a son. Rav Shem Sherfal Hirsch says, Lot's wife, as she stood still, was overtaken by death, which was following close behind. Run, the Malach HaMavis is right behind you. And the minute you turn around, and the minute you lock eyes with the Malach HaMavis, you're finished. In this story, Unechaye Me'avinu Zera, says Rav Shem Sher... Excuse me, 1 minute. In this story, that we will have offspring from our father is repeatedly stressed as the motive for the act. We should not, says Rav Shem Sherfal Hirsch, in analyzing this story, overlook the motive. They believed there was no one else on earth. They saw themselves alone in the world. They saw themselves alone in the world. This fear, along with the survival of the human race, drove them to commit the crime. It was moral consideration, thank you. Not only did they not see anything wrong, they regarded it as right, thank you very much, Tiskul Mitzvos, as right and proper. They believed they were doing the right thing, says Rav Shem Sherfal Hirsch, even though in his words it is a crime. Nevertheless, they saw no option. What should we do? Thank you. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiya Bidvaro. For the water and the cup. Tizkul mitzvos. Let's go Rabbeinu Bechai, please. Page 3, middle of page 3. Vayeshe Bahar Ushtei Benosav Imo. Maisei Bibino Lot. Are you with me? Page 3, middle of the page. Inyan Mechudash Haya. This is a new matter here. Vehein Hayutznu Ot. You should know, he says, they were modest girls. Umit Baishot. They were embarrassed. Litboa et Avian. To ask their father directly to make them pregnant. Shaharei Ben Noach Mutar Bevito. So Rabbeinu Bechai here is quoting from Masechet Sanhedrin Nun Ches Amud Beis. So when I was in the speaker's lounge upstairs, Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Hirsch Weinberg was also upstairs. So I went over and I asked for a few minutes of his time. I said, can I ask you about this? Even though this isn't the focus of the shir, what is Rabbeinu Bechai referring to? It's quoting the Gemara. So we looked at the Gemara. Sometimes these come in very handy on seferia.org. And Taka, the Gemara says that akuti, which Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Hirsch Weinberg explained to me, is a code word for a non-Jew, is mutter to be with his daughter. This is way beyond the scope of the shir, but there is an opinion in the Gemara that akuti, which is a code word based on censorship, when the Gemara was censored in later years to avoid problems with the Umos Ha'olam, that akuti is permitted to the daughter. There's a second opinion in the Gemara, which we looked at upstairs, that akuti is forbidden to his daughter. Clearly, Rabbeinu Bechai here is quoting the opinion that the akuti is permitted, or in the words of Rabbeinu Bechai, the Ben Noach, permitted to be with his daughter. Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Hirsch Weinberg explained to me that there's no inyan of yichus in the family relationship. Again, beyond the scope of the shir, I'm pointing out the opinion of the Gemara that Rabbeinu Bechai is relying on. For the purposes of our shir, let's go on. Rabbi Seinu Zichrono Livracha Amru, the rabbis and Bereishis Rabbah teach us, Shenit Kavnu L'Shem Shamayim Pashut. Their intentions were L'Shem Shamayim. They were good. Kedei Liyashreif HaOlam. They want to repopulate the world. Ki Hayu Ra'ot HaChurban HaGadol B'Dar Hahu. They see tremendous churban. There is destruction, complete destruction. And they think that mankind will cease to be. And because their mother was already perished, mommy was already destroyed, and mommy's a pillar of salt, and their father was alone in the world without a mate, they realize they have to do this to bring offspring down so that mankind will not be annihilated. And therefore they said in their complaint, Ish Ein Ba'aretz, if we don't lay with father now, who will lay with father? Remember, no Twitter, no Facebook, no news, no instant WhatsApp where news goes around the world. In a second, that's probably a long time. They don't know. The world is destroyed. Look at me, follow with me. Lo timza, halfway through Ben Bechaya, Shahiz Kirbet Akatuv Lashon Znut Bekol HaParsha. It does not mention that they were zonot, that they were harlots in the entire Parsha. Lefi bolded for you, Shekavanatam Haita Lashem Shamayim. Why? They intended for good. Va'al Kain Zachta Bechira. Not only did they act Lashem Shamayim, but God was maskim. He prepared them wine. And they have a tremendous chus. The oldest one comes from her. Look, Rut HaMoavia. Who comes from her? Rus the Moavi, Shekibla Aleh Tash Taf Reish Vav Mitzvot, who accepted upon herself 606 mitzvot in addition to the seven of Bnei Noach. And the youngest one was Ocha that Na'ama the Ammonid, who was the wife of King Shlomo, came from her, from Rechavam ben Shlomo came from her. And they were both Zocha to Malchus Beis David. And that's why the pasuk says, "Al titzaram v'al titgarbam." Do not oppress Moav and Ammon, because Moav and Ammon, because of two goodly shoots, says God, that will emanate from them. Why was their mother lost and they were saved? Why could Lot not have fathered new children? You know, Adam and Isha went on to have more children. Why not from the Lot and Mrs. Lot, v'tabeit ishto me'acharav? A Jew has to be forward facing. The mother of Messiah, mothers, have to be forward facing. We have faced Churban over and over and over and over and over and over. And with every Churban, by the way, whether personal, individual, or national, you have a choice. You have a choice. Unechaye me'avinu zera. Perhaps, in fact, we can rebuild. Perhaps we can go on. Perhaps, though the whole world is destroyed, there is hope yet. Or v'tabeit ishto me'acharav. At the very moment of Churban, at the very moment when she must be facing forward, children, look ahead. We will journey to a new home. We will rebuild. Mrs. Lot cannot fathom a new world. She does not have the courage for binyan that comes after Churban. And she sealed her fate when she looked back. Chazal tell us famously, "Bedarach she'adam rotze leilech ba'malichin oso." And the way you want to go, you will be led. And if you want to be a forward-facing person, God will assist you and he'll leave wine for you in the cave. And if you want to be a rear-facing person and you want to live in the past, you'll be preserved as salt. Isn't that interesting? Salt preserves. She wanted to preserve the past. She was preserved in the past. The daughters embodied a new vision. They beheld a new future. They knew after Churban comes Binyan. We can, perhaps we will, unechaye me'avinu zera. Is that not the story of every single person sitting in here? Has life always been peaches and cream for every one of you? Never mind the national Churban that we face. We have faced. Baruch Hashem, now we're in a period of binyan. Though the world is in a frightening place, the binyan should continue. But on a personal level, who does not know Churban? She cannot be the mother of Mashiach, because she cannot be the mother of Malchus, because she cannot be the mother of Knesset Yisrael. It says Rav Soloveitchik about this daughter, the Bechira. The girl wanted to rebuild the world. She wants to start a whole new human race. This was heroism of an undreamt caliber. Instead of giving up, she had courage to try to rebuild, to have a new humanity from the ashes. Would you have believed that 3 years after the Shoah and Churban Europa, I stood in front of the pile of ashes in Madanek, which my four grandparents survived from? Would you have believed that Ben-Gurion would have gone up on an Erev Shabbat and said, "We hereby declare the independence of our new state, which will be called Medina Yisrael"? Would you have believed? Would you have believed? Lo avda tikvatenu. Is it possible? Why is our hope not lost? Because it was implanted within us from the moment of inception. What looks like incest is a story of courage. What looks like a Malvi princess is a story of hope, of daring. My children, said Miriam, Rahman al-Hassan, to two children who she lost to war. Look ahead. We will go forward and build a new home. Their plan, says the Rav, was reprehensible, but their motivation, imaginative, noble, heroic. Let's now talk about the last story, which we have not yet touched upon, and that is Tamar with Yehuda. Please turn to page 4. So here you have Perek Lamed Ches in Bereishis. This is the Perek that immediately follows the sale of Yosef HaTzadik. Okay, I'm going to be paraphrasing the Pesukim for time mostly, unless I decide to read any of it in Lashon HaKodesh, no guarantees. Vayehi Baheisahi Vayered Yehuda Meit. Achav Rashi says he had a Yerida, he was in charge, he should have brought Yosef home. And he goes to an Adulumi man, who's named Chira. He sees a woman, and he marries her. She conceives, she has heir. She conceives again, she gives birth to Onan. She conceives again, the third child is Shelah. And Yehuda takes a daughter-in-law for heir. Her name is Tamar. And heir is not such a good man. He purposely spills his seed. He does not want to ruin Tamar's beauty, his new wife's beauty. God puts heir to death. If you note that the word heir backwards is Ra. Okay? Heir, Ayin, Resh is Ra. And Yehuda says to Onan, you know, now it's time for you to do Yibum. Heir died. I have this daughter-in-law, Tamar. You marry her and establish offspring for your children. Now, Onan isn't so nice either. He knows that the first child will not be his because halachically by Yibum, it's going to be by the name of his older deceased brother. So he also intentionally spills his seed not to provide offspring. God doesn't like this. He also kills him. So now there's one child left, Shelah. So Yehuda is a little suspicious over here. Okay, one son died with Tamar. Second son done with Tamar. I don't think I'm going to give Shelah to Tamar. Tamar, you know, go sit in your widow clothing until Shelah grows up. I.e., I'm never going to give him to you. She's waiting and she's waiting and she's waiting. Yehuda himself becomes a widow. He goes to shear his sheep, and they say to Tamar, guess who's coming to shear the sheep? Well, what does she do? She takes matters into her own hands. She takes off the clothing of her widowhood. She dresses in a scarf. Those words are in bold because we're going to be speaking about them soon. She sits at the crossroads. And she sees Yehuda's coming. He thinks she's a zona. Once again, I did not give you the entire perek on your handout. After some deal is made, what are you going to pay me? I have collateral items. I'll send the payment later. Lamaisa, they get together. She conceives and she bears Peretz and Zerah. Whose Peretz? We already saw him on page 1. Why did we see him on page 1? He's the father of King David. She's being taken out to be killed. Because after 3 months, Yehuda is told, I'll tell you when you need to go to your handout again. After 3 months, Yehuda is told, wait a minute. You know the daughter-in-law Tamar, who you're told to sit in her father-in-law's house, dressed in black, in mourning until Shelah grown up. She's pregnant. It must be Liznunim. By harlotry. Who could she be pregnant to if she's sitting in her father's house in black? Yehuda says, what does Yehuda say? Take her out to be burned. As I'll learn from here, it's better to be thrown into the Kibshan Aish and embarrass someone in public. Tamar does not reveal publicly who is the father of her child. She sends the collateral items. Recognize these, Yehuda? When we lay together, you gave them to me as payment, as collateral. Tzad kami mani, famous last words. She is pregnant from me, says Yehuda. She's saved. And Tamar gives birth to twin boys, Peretz, we saw on page 1. Once again, I'll peep shot. The story seems a little dubious. What kind of union and what kind of relationship, people, I ask you, is Melech HaMashiach born from? A daughter who lays with her own father, a daughter-in-law who sits as a prostitute at the crossroads, a princess from the palace of Moab, the archenemy of the Jewish people. Is this dubious lineage or is this royal ambition? What mida did Tamar possess that made her worthy to be the mother of Melech HaMashiach? The Rav says, Tamar's mida was the ability to wait with patience. She was lonely, she was forsaken, she was forgotten by everyone. Seasons passed, Tamar's friends were married. They had children and grandchildren. People treated her with contempt and ridicule, says the Rav. You're still waiting for Sheila? It's never going to happen. And she waited and never said a word. And isn't this, says the Rav, the incarnation of Knesset Yisrael? Have we not waited for our beloved for hundreds and thousands of years under the most trying of circumstances? As the Umos Olam mock us, and there our waiting arouses laughter and ridicule. But the Rav says the Hashgacha requires the Jew to wait every day. We say, Ani Mamim be'amuna shalema be'vias ha-Mashiach. Every day we say, I'm still waiting, and even though he may tarry, yet I wait for him. However, I want to bring out a deeper thought behind Tamar. And she embodies the same trait, the ability to look ahead. Why? You know, sometimes we find ourselves in life situations, and it gets you down. Tamar could have said, ready? This isn't what she said. I'm pathetic. I killed one husband. I killed another husband. My father-in-law won't give me to the third son. I'm pathetic. I'm going to go into bed. I'm going to put the covers over my head. I don't know why God created me in the first place. Clearly, I have no tafkid here. I give up with my life. I will wallow in the past. In self-negation, a trait could I possibly possess to contribute anything to Knesset Yisrael? And she didn't choose that path. She did not drown in a life of hopelessness. Because when her father-in-law comes, she gets up. She sits at the crossroads, and that's why I bolded for you, Vateshev b'Pesach Einayim. Very interesting lashon. It could have said anything. It could have said she sat at the crossroads. Obviously, they didn't ask me when they composed this, but what is the double lashon here? Vateshev b'Pesach Einayim. What does she do? She opens her eyes. You know, maybe I'm not pathetic, and maybe God is giving me a second chance, and maybe I do have a tafkid in this world. I will look ahead. Vateshev, she sets herself. But Pesach Einayim, she opens her eyes to cast her sight forward, because to rebuild after Churban is courage and daring par excellence. So I was thinking of Tamar's name. Lashon HaKodesh is just so fascinating. I try and focus on names. We don't have time for examples now. I wish we had time for some examples. We don't have time. I'll give you one, Tamar. I was thinking of the name Tamar. So clearly you have, Tamar means dates or honey from dates. So it's sweet. But if you break up the word Tamar, I actually did it for you on the bottom of your handout. Okay? Tav, Mem Resh. So the Mem Resh is Mar. So that part's pretty obvious. She had a bitter life. So I was thinking, what is the first half of this doing here? The Tav? It's the last letter of the alphabet. The Aleph base. When you come to the end of the road and everything seems bitter upon bitter, you with me? You understand that? When you come to the end of the row, what's the last letter of the alphabet? Tav. And everything seems like your whole life is bitter after bitter, mar. You have a choice. You could drown in that end of bitter, or you could take what you have and make it sweet. And what did Tamar do? Tzadik katamar yifrach. The righteous will sprout. Like a palm tree, like a date tree, like sweetness. It is the ability to take what is bitter in life and make it sweet. It's very compelling. One of the YU Rosh Yeshivas has pointed this out to me, actually, Shavuot's program 2 years ago, that Arpa is the antithesis of Rus, and Arpa comes from the word Oref, which means back of the neck. Arpa, going back to Megillas Rus and how we began our Shia, as we conclude now, Arpa went back home. She too looked behind. Her name is from the word Oref, Egla Arufa. You bake the back of the neck of the calf, back. She was a rear-facing person. And Ruth was forward-facing and clung to Naomi. And now I ask you, is this not the story of David HaMelech and his progeny, Melech HaMashiach? Will Messiah not arrive to find a world of chaos, pain, shambles, destruction, hatred, and korban, both personal and national? But Melech HaMashiach will not be from Mrs. Lo, v'tabed ishto me'achara v'tihi nitzav melech. And he will not be from Tamar, a woman at the end of the line who drowns in bitterness. And he will not be from Arpa, a woman who focuses on the rear and who cannot look forward, so she goes back to her pagan ways. No. Our Messiah, our Mashiach, our Redeemer, from David Melech Yisrael and his mothers with royal ambitions, will come from these illustrious women, from Bat Lo, who took it upon herself to rebuild an entire world. One young, lonely girl who believed she could. Unechaye me'avinu zara. We will rebuild despite the ashes. From Tamar, a woman who reached the end of the line full of bitterness, but she shaped her destiny. She took off the covers from her head. She removed her tears, and with hope and faith and confidence, she made it sweet. And from Rus, who cast her lot with this people, come what may. They returned to the fields of Beis Lachem Yehuda, marching forward to a better time, a better place for herself and her people. And in the end of days, with the coming of Mashiach, the ultimate rebuilding, the ultimate hope, the ultimate marching forward will come from these illustrious women and the son, King David, that they bore, and the great-great-grandson of women with royal ambitions who always looked ahead, Melech HaMashiach, in that great end of days. Ki nichem Hashem Tzion, nichem kol chor v'seh. God will comfort Zion. He will comfort all of her destroyed places. V'yasam midbara ke'eden, v'arvasa kegan Hashem, sason v'simcha yimatzaba, toda v'kol zimra. May we merit immediately in our days the great rebuilding, the binyan that will come. Bimhira bi'ameinu. Thank you all for your time, everybody. Enjoy your day.